It is a wet, it is a windy, it is a wild day weather-wise outside, but hey, we are here. We have taken shelter inside for Trailblazers courtside for the first of three straight weeks. Adam Bjarnason, Michael Holton with you, and ready to get your fix of Trailblazers basketball on. A lot of outlets, of course, for you to take part on tonight's show right here on Comcast Sportsnet, on the TV side of things, along the Trailblazers radio network as well, and, of course, stream live on trailblazers.com. A nice win last night for the Trailblazers, a needed win, an expected win. Still some things you want to see cleaned up, but you got to like what you saw out of the Blazer bench.
I like the offense. I know that. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Blazer bench and the shooting 60%, it's always good when you see the Blazers fluid on the offensive end.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in the play of course, you know, at least three guys from that Blazer bench that have been really opening up some eyes. You know who they are if you watch these games each and every night. They are Myers Leonard, Victor Claver, and, of course, Eric Maynor. All right, this is the Courtside Tip-Off presented, as always, by our friends at Standard TV and Appliance. On the show tonight at 6:15, we're going to have one of our leading men, Blazer TV analyst Mike Rice. What keeps him going after all these years? What fuels his fire? We're going to ask him that. And, of course, we're going to touch on plenty of other Blazer items. Then, at 6:35, we'll be joined by Blazer broadcaster, our former Blazer broadcaster, Pete Pranica. He's now with the Memphis Grizzlies and join us from Tennessee. He'll be on at 6:15. We'll catch up on what is making this Memphis Grizzlies team. You were just adding up some of the numbers and looking at that. They've won 9 out of their last 10 games. You thought that they were going to be worse once they got rid of Rudy Gay, but that's been anything but the case.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to get better when you lose your best player.
Right.
So there is something there that we would like to find out about from Pete Pranica.
All right. So just why this team has played so well, we're going to find that out. But the Blazers have had a ton of success in Memphis. They've won 9 of their last 11 games down in Tennessee. So we will touch on that and much, much more. Looking at that Blazers schedule as well, schedule gets a little daunting, but we're going to be checking that out. We are just underway. We want you to be interactive with us tonight. Trailblazers courtside for March 5th, 2013. We're back right after this.
Will Barton in transition. Lillard followed Dunn. Speaking, they lob to Hickson, and he's fouled. Batum the pass. Up ahead, Batum running the floor. Leaves that for Myers Leonard. Not sure Terry Stotts loved that. Cortland around the back. Batum to Myers, and he jams.
See, there's Nick being.
Adam Bjarnason, Michael Holton with you on this March 5th edition of Trailblazers Courtside. Pleased to have you with us on this Tuesday night. One of the greatest things about the invention of pens is the highlighter. And we have been joking about this before the show began. I've been using the same highlighter for years now. I think in my 3 years now with the Blazers, I finally got a highlighter that works. You don't have to go across 8 to 10 times. You just go across once and it works.
I got to admit something.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason your highlighter went out as fast as it did is because when you turn your head, I was using it also.
Full disclosure, we'll get you everywhere. Adam Bjarnason, Michael Holton with you. We've got you for the next 3 weeks. You ready for that? You got that in your calendar?
Yeah, I was looking today trying to figure it out. Next week, is it Wednesday?
I think so, yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, we do a Tuesday, then a Wednesday, and then I think back to its usual spot on Monday nights.
I like that they trust us with this opportunity.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So it works out, and the guys on the road, and they get a little reprieve. A couple of our guests tonight, former Blazer broadcaster turned Memphis Grizzly broadcaster Pete Pranica. He'll be coming up at about 6:35. But before that, the wild one, we got Rice. He has not been on Trailblazer courtside for a while, so we figured we'd try to reel him in.
Yep. You got to get your stopwatch out because he's going to have some things to say.
All right. So 23 games remain, Michael, for the Blazers. 19 of them. I did the math. 19 of them are against teams that are 500 or better. So far, so good in the month of March. We're off to a 2-0 start. But the schedule really does begin to ramp up, and it starts tomorrow night in Memphis.
Yeah, and Memphis is a really good team and a really good team that's playing really well right now. So going out on the road, you always want to play your best basketball. But when you're playing against a team that is as hot as Memphis, the Trailblazers are going to have to take some things away.
how about realistic expectations for this team right now? three and a half back of the final, eighth and final playoff spot. I think Utah holds that position right now. It's not Houston, but Utah. Making the playoffs would be an incredible accomplishment for this team.
It would be, and it's still within reach. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And everybody starts looking at not only the Blazers, but they start looking at the schedules of the other teams just above the Blazers. And right now there's one team down in Southern California that is above the Blazers and playing well, and that would be the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Trailblazers would not only need to get hot, but the Lakers can't continue to play at the pace that they're playing at and the Trailblazers make it.
And of the 23 games that remain, 12 of them are on the road, 11 here at the Rose Garden. Now, we've talked about our starting five, Michael, ad nauseum, but some of the young guys have really started to find their way now, particularly Myers Leonard. In the last three games, how about this? He has scored a total of 40 points. Do you know how many games prior to that it took him to get to 40 points combined?
No, seven.
16.
16?
16. So we talk about the growth and development and how rapidly it has hit. 15 points, a career high last night. Myers can do a little bit of everything. He's showing his offense, and defensively he's even improved.
You know what's good about it, though, Adam, is confidence offensively is one of those things where, and you play basketball,
sure,
is when you get it, you have it. Mm-hmm. Now, it may take a long time to get it, particularly for a rookie, but it doesn't leave you. So Myers Leonard is going to get off the plane in Memphis with the expectation that he's going to continue to get buckets.
The question that we posed last night on Trailblazers' fifth quarter on the radio side on 1190, you and I talked about, does his game travel? Does the boarding – what was the actual question?
You know, I actually felt bad about that question afterwards because people can misunderstand it. The question was, does Myers Leonard's game travel well?
Right.
And B, how will his game respond to receiving a boarding pass?
We got some great responses, and a lot of people are starting to have belief in Myers. And for a young guy who's just 21 years old, you have to love what you're seeing if you're a Blazer fan. Is he going to be the guy who kind of takes over and mans the post as the center of the future for this team? I mean, that is the ultimate goal of this team, right?
Yeah, at some point, you know, and – yeah, at some point, certainly Myers Leonard was drafted with the thought that he would anchor the Trailblazers' front line. And whether that's a year from now, 5 games from now, or 2 years from now, only time will tell. But back to the Myers Leonard's game traveling question that I pose that I keep trying to retract and reposition it. You know, perception meets reality when the other team shows up. Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, when you play better teams, Memphis, San Antonio, that's a report card opportunity for Myers Leonard. When you're at home and you play well, it's good. It qualifies you in terms of growth and development. But taking that on the road, particularly for a rookie, is another level.
We're going to be talking about that and much more with Mike Rice. We have done a little flip-flop. Remember how I told you how important the highlighter pen was? I just received a very important message in highlighter. It's from the captain, Rich Patterson, who says it's going to be Pete at 6:15, Rice at 6:35.
That's a high-tech graphic.
that's how we roll here. But Blazer fans, we want you to be interactive with us tonight. So the best way to do that is, of course, via Twitter. Either reach out to myself at Adam Blazers or Michael at MDH Hoops. Use the hashtag TB Courtside. If you have a question of either of our guests, whether Mike Rice or Pete Pranica, get them to us now. We'll put you in the queue. Already got some great ones already lined up, so we're going to do that. And we'll continue on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on this Tuesday night, March 5th. Back with more right after this quick time. I was here from 01 to 02, so is when I got here. Welcome back to Trailblazers Courtside for this Tuesday, March 5th. Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton with you. We'll be joined by the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies in just one moment, Pete Pranica. By the way, we want you to vote for your favorite Trailblazer in the Kia Fan Favorite Sweepstakes, and you could win 10 lower-level tickets to the April 7th Dallas game, a meet-and-greet with a Blazers fan favorite, and much more to enter. And for a list of official rules, visit any participating Metro Kia retailer or just go to trailblazers.com, keyword Kia. All right, pleased to be joined by a guy that Blazer fans certainly remember around here for five seasons. He was the voice of your Blazers. He is Pete Pranica. He's been calling games in Memphis since the 04-05 season. Pete, thanks for the time tonight. How are you?
Adam, always a pleasure to be on courtside.
Well, it's great to have you back on, and we've got to get to what has been fueling the fire for these Memphis Grizzlies all of a sudden. The hottest team, not named Miami right now, in the entire NBA. Ironically, their only loss in the last 10 is to Miami. Ultimately, what has been the key to the success of the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, I think, Adam and Michael, it's you know, a lot of people would say you trade your leading scorer in Rudy Gay, and, you know, what in the world are you doing? But what's interesting about this basketball team, guys, is before the trade, the Grizzlies were averaging about 56% assisted baskets. Since the trade has been made, the Grizzlies are registering assists on about 65% of their baskets. They've gone from 25th in the league to about 6th in the league in terms of sharing the basketball. And it's not a team with a 20-point score on it. Zach Randolph leads the team, and he's not even up to 16 points per game. It's just a team that has been together for a long time. It's a good core, a group of guys that really and truly like playing together. And Tayshaun Prince has come in along with Ed Davis and Austin Day, and they fit seamlessly into the locker room. And it's a team that really has a goal of getting to the Western Conference Finals, if not further.
Well, answer this one for me. Portland has found some great success in the city of Memphis, obviously, as of late. You know that. You've been there for all of them. 9 of the last 11 games have gone Portland's way. What's the reason for that?
Well, some of it was Zach Randolph when he was wearing black and red.
Right.
That was part of it. Portland just seems to be a tough matchup for the Grizzlies. I think LaMarcus Aldridge forces a lot of matchup issues for the Grizzlies. The last game was one of those games that it's 72 all, I think, going into the fourth quarter, and nobody can make a shot in the fourth. And Mike Conley misses a layup, which, you know, he's made millions of those before. And Rudy Gay misses a last second shot, which he's made before. It's just an odd matchup, and usually it's LaMarcus Aldridge. And also, if there's an Achilles heel for the Grizzlies, guys, it's defending the three-point line. Sometimes the Grizzlies are so intent on being a good defensive team that they overhelp, they overcommit, and if you swing the ball quickly, Wesley Matthews is there to shoot threes, and that is one of the things. That plus LaMarcus Aldridge, I think, have been the two biggest reasons why Portland has enjoyed success against Memphis.
Well, Pete, certainly the Trailblazers feature the three-point shot in their offense. Pete, I want to go back a little bit to what you said about that assist ratio change post-Rudy Gay, because that's a big swing. And was that Rudy Gay was a ball stopper, or what really is responsible for such a shift in the amount of assists that the Grizzlies now have?
Michael, you touched on it. I mean, Rudy Gay is a tremendous athlete, but he is more of an isolation player. And, you know, the Grizzlies made the deal for a couple of reasons, and one of which is financial. They didn't want to pay the luxury tax. And with the new CBA, the luxury tax is going to get incredibly more punitive than it had been in the past. But the other piece of it is, this is a team whose identity really is inside out. When Rudy Gay was here, you would have Marc Gasol maybe put up 20 points through three quarters, wouldn't get a touch in the fourth quarter because the Grizzlies were running isolation plays with Rudy Gay. And so you didn't have assists, and you didn't have points in the paint in the fourth quarter. And if Rudy wasn't shooting well in the fourth quarter, those were the games that the Grizzlies would find themselves on the losing end of the score. So a lot of it is Rudy just by his nature. He's an isolation guy. He's a wing scorer. He's a slasher. And if he's got it in his hands, he's going to either take it to the bucket or he's going to rise above his defender and shoot. Passing, that's really not his deal. And, the deal for Rudy Gay to Toronto, again, was done for financial reasons, yes. But I think style of play also factored into it, because you can find another wing scorer, and Tayshaun Prince isn't going to backfill Rudy's numbers completely, but you can find another wing scorer. Hard to find another Zach Randolph, maybe impossible to find another Marc Gasol, and that's really where the Grizzlies are building around.
Pete Pranica, the TV announcer for the Memphis Grizzlies, joining us on Trailblazers Courtside tonight. And, Pete, I've got to ask you this. You just touched on Zach Randolph. He's been limping around lately and rather badly, from what I understand. Is his status for tomorrow night's game a little bit in question? And I guess I should probably ask you the same thing with Darrell Arthur.
Well, both are being listed day-to-day. For the people who didn't see it or haven't heard about it, Darrell Arthur took a very hard fall. Hard but clean play by Al Harrington, and Darrell landed on his back, and his head whipsawed back and hit the back of his head on the floor Sunday night in Orlando. No concussion symptoms, but very stiff and sore in the back and neck area. My guess is game-time decision. And Zach Randolph sprained his ankle in the opening minutes Friday night against Miami. I think that's a game time decision, but I don't have any expectation that Zach is going to play. I know that he wants to, but this is a pivotal month for the Grizzlies because they have 17 games this month, guys. They only have six at home, and it's a brutal schedule for the Grizzlies. Easily the toughest month they have. So, you know, if Zach Randolph is well served by resting a little bit more, I'm sure that the Grizzlies probably would advise him to do that. But officially listed as day-to-day, I'm thinking it's a coin flip whether or not he plays tomorrow night.
Pete, that's 16 points a game and a lot of quality touches and a guy that can command double teams. Who steps up for the Memphis Grizzlies in the absence of Zach Randolph?
Well, Michael, in the absence of Darrell Arthur, if indeed he doesn't play, you're going to see a lot of Ed Davis. Ed Davis is a guy who comes from Toronto, and he was on a very good roll before the trade. He's young, he's raw, he's very, very athletic. For Blazer fans, I would kind of equate him to a J.J. Hickson, a guy who has pogo stick hops, can play above the rim a little bit, good rebounder, struggles with his free throw shooting. I think that's where you're going to have to go if you're Memphis to get some more points. By the same token, I look at what Tayshaun Prince did in the Orlando game on Sunday. He hadn't been shooting the ball very well. He understood that the Grizzlies were down Zach Randolph, so he was more aggressive offensively. And it's just a team that finds ways to win, and they find ways to soak up minutes and soak up points. And so Ed Davis probably is going to get the lion's share of the minutes at the four, assuming that Zach Randolph doesn't play tomorrow.
The Memphis Grizzlies right now 20 games above 500. Pete, would you guys look at this Portland Trail Blazers team? What stands out? Of course, they are rebuilding with their bench and getting some production from their bench, I might add, as of late. 29 points last night between three guys, that being Myers Leonard, Victor Kleber, and Eric Maynor. Ultimately, what is the strength that you guys see as an opposition of this Portland Trail Blazers team?
Well, Damian Lillard, number one, and LaMarcus Aldridge, 1A, and probably Wesley Matthews, 1B, because Wesley Matthews always seems to play well against Memphis, but again, because of his ability to hit the three-point shot. This is as talented a team as you'll find in the Western Conference, particularly when you look at the starting five. The question is, once you get into the bench, and I think that we didn't get a look at Victor Kleber. Last time he did not play in that ball game. Myers Leonard was inactive the last time these two teams met. So it's going to be a little bit of a new look, really, for both teams tomorrow night. But I think, you always have to deal with LaMarcus Aldridge, and we always had an inside joke with our broadcast that LaMarcus is going to go for an automatic. You just pencil him in for 10 in the first quarter against the Grizzlies. He loves to get going offensively early against the Grizzlies, and Wesley Matthews, his ability to make the three-point shot, is well documented. Damian Lillard did not have a very good game the first time he played against the Memphis Grizzlies. I would assume that he is going to probably put up some good numbers tomorrow, although the Grizzlies' Mike Conley is playing well on both ends of the floor at the point guard position. So it should be a very, very interesting matchup. But the Grizzlies they have lost enough games at home to sub-500 teams that the Blazers will not fly below Memphis' radar tomorrow night.
Pete, let me ask you a question about Trailblazer J.J. Hickson. I mean, he's obviously having a really good year. And I don't think other teams game plan for him, and I think he's the type of player that's difficult to game plan for because he's an energy player, and he's not, from a matchup standpoint, you're going to design a defense to try to stop. But do you think he's played well enough and consistent enough that he should move up the scouting report of the opposition, including the Grizzlies?
I don't think there's any question. I mean, somebody who – is averaging a double-double, boy, you better be pretty close to the top of your scouting report. And he is that X factor that can really make the difference in a basketball game. So if I'm a coach, like I said, and I realized that I went 1A, 1B, 1C, and I didn't mention J.J. Hickson, but he's got to be there because, LaMarcus is going to get hit. There's no question about that. But then the X factor becomes J.J. Hickson, and so many times in the game planning, it's okay, if we can keep these guys average, let's not have an X factor. Let's not have the random guy, so to speak, go off and have a big night. And certainly J.J. Hickson is, that random guy or that X factor, that you can't let him have a 20-15 night if you want to beat the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, our starting five is pretty good, Pete. This just in. We score a lot of points with our starting five, but now that bench starting to come around, that's the one thing, as you had pointed out, that you guys aren't quite sure of just what that bench can provide. Real quick, I just want to ask you about the best chance for the Grizzlies to advance in the playoffs. Is there a favorable matchup for Memphis right now as you guys see it?
Golden State. Mm. Grizzlies swept the season series from them. They're always dangerous because they're a great outside shooting team, but right now if it's 4-5, Grizzlies in Denver, of course, nobody plays well in Denver,
Right.
And Denver has taken 2 of 3 from the Grizzlies, and there's one more game in Denver. Denver is a matchup that scares me anyway. Golden State would be favorable from the Grizzlies' point of view, but whoever they throw in front of you, you got to play them. You got to beat them 4 times.
Well, we will see how it all transpires tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Pete Pranica, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Pete, great catching up with you once again, and we'll look forward to catching up with you later on.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate it. Pete Pranica, voice of the Grizzlies. Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues right after this. We are going to be catching up with the Wild One. We're going to have a side of rice, side dish of rice.
A side dish of wild rice.
Yep. You can see it right here on Comcast Sportsnet. Stream live on trailblazers.com or along the Trailblazers radio network. Back with more right after this. Adam Bjarnson, Michael Holton in the catbird seat for this Tuesday on Trailblazers Courtside. We are, of course, always begging. Not really begging. We just throw out there that we want people to ask us questions of you, of myself, of our guests. And I have promised everyone that we are going to get through each and every question tonight.
Okay.
So now is the segment for it. So if you have not used the TB Courtside hashtag, then we're not going to see them. So first question, Michael, comes from Jake Hefner, who got to us early. He was number one in the queue. He says, Myers has been great the last few games. What are some of the things he needs to work on to become a starter in this league?
He's worked on it. Really, yeah. Number one is staying out of foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Two, being able to play physically on the front line. And so some of that he's got to acquire in the offseason, and some of it is the experience and the nuances of leverage in terms of when you can be physical and when you can't be physical. And other than that, he just needs to keep getting minutes and getting better.
Kevin Goff asks, hey, thanks for the reminder about the questions tonight. Yo, MBH Hoops, how many McDonald's coupons did you redeem last night?
So that's not funny, first of all. That's not funny. And they weren't McDonald's coupons. It was Chalupa night.
Exactly.
And I haven't redeemed any, but I did acquire a stack. And I have plans for helping others. And
oh, here they are.
Yeah.
More.
Exactly. So I'm going to keep these in my vehicle. And, every now and then you bump into people that could use a Chalupa. You know what I mean? Whether they're on the side of the road or they're part of a meeting, I'm going to be dropping Chalupa coupons.
You got to make it rain?
Courtesy. No, I'm not going to make it rain. But courtesy of the Trailblazers getting 100.
There you go. We put actually Randy, who just walked in here, one of our great employees here, he put one of these on inside of the the car manual of the Toyota Avalon Hybrid. That
oh, did he really? Set.
Yeah. So this baby, yeah, you want one of these, don't you?
I could take three of these and get a soda and call it dinner.
You could. Let's continue on with the real questions here. What does Myers Leonard have to do to be successful against the opponents on the upcoming road trip? Of course, Memphis, if they – it sounds like Pete wasn't quite sure, game time decision, but from everything I'm reading about Zach Randolph, it says he's questionable for tomorrow, does not appear likely to play, admitted his left ankle sprain is so bad he couldn't have even played under any circumstance on Sunday. Now, a couple of days have certainly passed, but, you know – and then Tim Duncan, of course, and then perhaps going up against
Here's my answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I think Myers Leonard's best chance at continuing his success on his road trip is running the floor because he's faster than any of the bigs he's going to see. I think he's even faster inline than Anthony Davis. And we saw in the last game his ability to rim run and follow shots when there's early shots in transition. I'd like to see Myers Leonard continue to do that. Because what can happen and what kind of scares me a little bit for Myers and the Blazers is if he wakes up feeling like an offensive player and all of a sudden he starts hunting shots.
Yeah.
I'm sure Terry Stotts would be wanting to put the brakes on that. So Myers Leonard continuing to defend and run the floor is the next progression for him to have an impact on the game.
It looks – and you probably have a better vantage point than anyone, but watching Coach Stotts and the rest of the coaching staff, they are coaching Myers more than it seems like they're coaching other players just because of the inexperience and the youthful, you know.
Well, you know what, Adam? There's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yeah.
But what the student doesn't recognize is the teacher was always there. Mm-hmm. And I think Myers Leonard said in his post-game interview is that he's now able to process more information. And so from the developmental department of Myers Leonard, I think the staff didn't overload him early. But now that he's ready and playing and getting some confidence, they're giving him more pieces.
I thought your post-game interview with him was great. It was very telling on the end of Myers. So, all right. The Wild One, Mike Rice, they have landed safely in Memphis, and they have reached their destination, their hotel. We are going to be joined by the Trailblazers TV analyst. We will do that when Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, reappears after this quick timeout. One, two.
Ooh. I'm going glass tonight. All glass.
Oh, you ain't got.
Huh? Watch this. Window.
Give me that one.
Window.
That one.
Come on, man. You're going to break it, man.
No. That's reserved for.
Oh.
Who was it? Jerome Lane back in the day?
Yeah, but you know who the passer was?
Oh, that's bad.
You know who the passer was?
No.
Sean Miller.
Oh, is that right?
Arizona
Coast. Oh, that was weak.
Adam.
Weak attempt.
Adam, to our radio audience, you are missing air balls. If you're watching television, you see Adam shooting air balls.
I should have stopped at the beach ball. All right, let's go back to Memphis. We're joined by the man, the myth, the legend. He is none other than the Wild One, Mike Rice. Rice, good evening.
I have another trivia. You talked about Sean Miller through the pass to Jerome Lane. What high school did Sean Miller go to?
Oh, that's a good one. It's in Pittsburgh.
Outside Pittsburgh, by the airport. I'll give you by the. It's 8 miles from the airport.
Airport High School.
No. Man, you guys, you're weak on trivia. We better stick to Memphis and Portland.
Hey, real quick though, let's stick to Rutgers basketball. They had a 10-point lead.
Why do you want to bring that up?
Well, I'm just asking. I don't know what the final was. I was going to ask you. I'm sure that was part of the reason.
Yeah,
why.
Yeah, they blew the game. They lost their leading scorer about a month ago. And he was their fourth quarter guy. Now they've lost the last five games with leads going into the last 4 minutes of the game, and they lost again tonight to Marquette. They had a 5-point lead with 4 minutes to go, and Marquette came on strong. And they missed that kid, Eli Carter. He was averaging 16 a game for them, and he was their guy in the fourth quarter when he broke his leg. That was the end of the season. So I don't even want to talk about it. I was listening to the game.
Oh, bummer. Well, sorry to hear that. Now Wesley's got bragging rights over you, right?
Yes, right. Yeah. In fact, when we got off the plane and onto the bus, they had the 5-point lead, and I yelled to Wes, check out that Marquette score. He turned his head and walked on the bus. Now I got to listen to him tomorrow.
Hey, let's talk about the recent surge by Myers Leonard, okay? The last three games, a combined 40 points. Can we equate some of his success, Mike Rice, with the addition, perhaps, of one Eric Maynor?
No, not at all. Myers Leonard is a guy that everybody keeps looking at his offensive stats. Where he has to improve is defense. His offense will come. And, you know, that's something he has to work on in June, July, August, his moves. You know, and I'm sure Coach Stotts, when you talk to him, you know, he's leery about, he wants the young man to improve where the team needs improvement, and that's on the defensive end. You know, you play against Minnesota and Charlotte. One team had a six-game losing streak. The other is on a six-game losing streak, Minnesota, after losing to the Heat. So those are two teams that are really suffering defensively. They're two of the worst teams in the NBA on defense. And yet last night, Charlotte scored over 60 points in the paint. That's where Myers Leonard has to step up and really help this Blazer team, blocking shots. That's where he has to feel at home, not letting anybody come into that lane on him. You know, his offense is going to come. It's, you know, he's not going to score on Memphis tomorrow night. I'll tell you that right now. This Memphis team, you know, they lose Rudy Gay, but they improve defensively. And as it turns out, they improve offensively. Their mid-range shots now, they were being assisted on mid-range shots about 50% of the time. Now it's up to 70% of the time. So this team went from 10 or 9 games over 500 to 20 games over 500 just because they play defense. And, man, when you play defense in the NBA, you win games. That's where Myers Leonard can help this team more than anything else, by improving, really get into that defensive end of the court. But his offense is improving. You know, you have to give him credit. And we'll see on this road trip. It'll be difficult for him to score on this road trip with San Antonio, of course, Memphis, great defensive team. And New Orleans will bump and grind with you, too. So, you know, I think he could help us more defensively than offensively on these three games.
You know, Mike Rice, talking about Myers Leonard and what he can do on the defensive end, I'm just kind of listening to you, and I'm looking at this box score from last night, and I'm thinking about the upcoming opponents in Memphis and San Antonio. And the Blazer defense is getting beat off the dribble. And I think we can expect that to also be a part of what happens trying to defend Mike Conley. But that second line of the Blazers defense is not protecting the rim and changing shots consistently or effectively. Do you think that Myers Leonard can acquire that skill during the course of this season, or will that also be something that will be a part of his offseason development?
Yeah, I really don't think he can do it this year. I think that comes with a feel for the game. Most of those shot blockers, and they were shot blockers in the eighth grade. Guys that can just come from the weak side, you know that, Michael, that just comes, and all of a sudden the Ibakas block your shot and they've come out of nowhere. He's going to have to acquire that, and that's a difficult skill to acquire. It's much easier to work on your offensive game. Who wants to work on their defensive game in the summertime? You know, and that's what I remember Bill Baino working with Greg Oden. And he was a natural at blocking shots, but every day they worked on passing the ball to somebody and having them dribble in, and Greg Oden come out of nowhere and try to block a shot without fouling. That's mainly why they were working with Greg. They didn't want him to foul out of games. And they're going to have to do the same thing in the summertime, send one of the assistant coaches to really work on how he can leave his own man and the spacing of it, the angles. I don't think he'll acquire that, and that's why the Blazers, you know, it started out the year, everyone was talking about points in the paint. They were talking about the field goal percentage in the three-second lane, and that hasn't changed the whole year. It's still 49%. The Blazers are giving up on two-point shots in the lane. They're giving up 46, 47 points a game, points in the paint. So, you know, I'm sure Neil O'Shea looks at that, and, you know, he knows the Blazers need help in that area, and they need to develop as you said, Michael, they need to develop skills along that line for Myers-Leonard. And I think it's just not enough time in 23 games.
Blazers TV analyst Mike Rice joining us live from Memphis via phone. Rice, this coming from Twitter from Julianne. She says, how much of a surprise is it to see Eric Maynard coming in and contributing right away like he has been?
I think, you know, his whole life he's been contributing off the bench, and he knows how to do that and what is expected of him. He knows when to, if the defense is really out on you and they're giving up lanes, he'll take that lane and go in and score. He knows when they're backing off and you can set some down picks for shooters. He knows when to get the ball to shooters. So, you know, he's been through all this before. The only thing that slowed him up was his knee injury. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be affecting his quickness. So, you know, I think he'll improve his outside shooting working with Lillard. I think it's a good combination. They get hurt a little bit on the defensive end. Like tomorrow, Tony Allen, you know, he would be him and Conley would be difficult to play against for the two small point guards. But because they force so many turnovers, Memphis, you may have to have your two-point guards in there. But physically, they're not ready to play against Memphis guards. So, you know, you're going to need Wesley Matthews in there as part of the physical game that you're going to see tomorrow. You just hope that that ankle of Zach's bothers him enough. Although when Zach went out today and he did practice a little bit today, I have a feeling he'll want to play tomorrow. He missed the Blazer game earlier in the year when the Blazers won down here. So I think Zach will play. I don't think Darrell Arthur will probably play, but Ed Davis, you know, one of the guys they got in the trade, he's starting to come around. He played 24 minutes in the last ball game against Orlando, and he was always good against the Blazers when he played for Toronto. So it'll be interesting because if they have their full complement of players, they have one of the best inside games in the NBA. So the Blazers really will be tested in that area tomorrow.
Hey, this might be a loaded question, but why are the Blazers so good in Memphis? And what's the biggest thing they're going to need to do tomorrow to get a W there? 9 of 11 they've won.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting that we played San Antonio for a while, real good down there. It's just you go in at the right time with the right attitude, with thinking, you know, when you get on these road trips, three-fourths of it is thinking that you can win on the road. You saw that with Charlotte. They came in and they knew no matter how well they played on the offensive end, sooner or later the other team's offense would catch up to them because their defense is terrible. I mean, I've seen some bad defenses in the NBA over the years. Charlotte, really, they didn't defend the three-point line. They're worse than the NBA at that. They didn't defend inside. They're 29th in defending the inside. So, you know, they just didn't feel they had a chance to win. And, you know, that's part of it. You when you go into somewhere and you've had success, like Blazers against Minnesota, they just feel that, you know, they're going to come up with the big shot to beat Minnesota. And it's kind of the same way against Memphis. They played well, mainly because Memphis, it's always been an ugly grind-em-out game, and the Blazers have gotten that big shot in the fourth quarter against them. And that's why Memphis, you know, they're not looking ahead. They probably feel this is a very big game for them to win. And, you know, they're not worried about offense. They're going to try to hold. They know the strength of the Blazers in their offense and in their outside shooting. So, you know, when you go in against Memphis, you know their game plan is defense. And they don't care about, you know, that may help the Blazers. If the Blazers are fired up defensively and they can make it a close game, then maybe they can win again in the fourth quarter.
Mike Rice, quickly, I got a quick question for you. Talking about the Trailblazers' offense on the road. The Trailblazers scored 122 points against the Bobcats. Only 7 of those points came as fast break points. I want to specifically ask you about J.J. Hickson. He shoots a high percentage, I think the highest percentage on the team, and it looks to me like when he scores early, it loosens up LaMarcus Aldridge considerably.
Oh, absolutely. You hit it right on the head. And I think Coach Stotts is seeing that. He's calling J.J.'s early in the year. You never heard a play called for J.J. You know, they would try to establish Lillard and L.A. inside and Lillard outside. But now you've hit it right. When J.J. Hickson gets established early, it really helps the rest of the Blazers outside shooting, L.A. inside. You know, it opens it up. So teams have to look and say, hey, you know, we've got to start thinking about how we're going to stop J.J. Hickson. So I would think on this road trip, it would be a smart thing to call his number early because he is shooting. You know, in February, he shot 61.5%. And he was tied with LeBron James as the best field goal percent shooter in February. So, man, it'd be a shame not to take advantage of that fact that how he's shooting over 60% in the last month.
You were marvelous, Mike Rice. Thank you very much for joining us, my friend.
It's a sad day because of the Big East outcome tonight, but other than that, I'm ready for tomorrow.
Hey, tomorrow's a new day. Absolutely.
You got
all right.
It.
Mike
you got
Rice
it.
Joining
all right,
us.
Guys.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
All right. He's ready. He's wound up.
I like talking to Mike Rice.
All right. I love it. He can talk, as you saw the – yeah.
But he breaks off knowledge.
Yes, he does. Always does. All right. Back with more Trailblazers Courtside when we return right after this timeout. Try out tickets for the rest of the season with the Ticket Tryout Pack. Experience Trailblazers action with seats to each remaining home game this season. Plus, receive an invitation to our annual open house event where you're going to receive priority seating access for next season. And as a bonus, you're also going to get playoff ticket purchase priority for this season should we reach postseason play. So get your Ticket Tryout Pack today. Call 503-797-9600 or visit trailblazers.com. All right, time for us to go over the crew list for tonight. TV producer Adam Willis, director Phil Beard. Video, it is Greg St. Martin. Graphics producer Kim Anderson. On audio, it's Corey Griffin. Cameras, Buck and Curry. Bruce Williams is the engineer. Justin Moulter, always gets the pound, is our online coordinator. And the radio producer, as always, it is El
Capitan. The Cap.
Ooh, look at the old school Portland wrestling shirt tonight.
We got to get him another edition of that Michael Holmes Basketball Academy camp shirt.
Or the I'm a Blazergonian. That was nice, too.
Or can I get a retweet? I'm going to make that shirt.
You've been asking that all night. You're finally getting into this Twitter thing.
The Twitterverse.
He's on it. He's on it. All right, Cap. All right, we're going to take one time out. We'll get a final word. And, anything else you want to throw your way? You want to have another basketball contest? No? No.
No.
All right. Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, returns right after this.